Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to the Eurotrip.
Live from Malmö.
Yes, welcome along. Hopefully, if you're listening to this on time and on schedule, it'll be Tuesday, so the day of the first semi-final of Eurovision 2024. Now, for us, it is currently about 6 p.m. on Monday, and we have just seen the first dress rehearsal of semi-final number one. So the show you're going to see tonight.
We have got so much to tell you about because, as James has just said, we have seen the whole thing. We know exactly what you've got to expect on your TV screens tonight, or indeed in the arena in Malmö if you are also here in Sweden. For the first time, welcome to the Malmö Arena. We are currently in the glamorous surroundings of the car park because it's an Access All Areas podcast this Eurotrip.
People think Eurovision is so glamorous. We're within the compound of the arena and the press centre next door, and you have to go through this car park. I can see a road sweeper within it here. This is not glamorous at all.
This is the Eurovision that you don't get to see at home, and this is what we are bringing you on the podcast this week. So, coming up, all of the preview that you need for Eurovision semi-final number one.
We have made our way then back to the press centre, the media centre, which is right next door to the arena. A short walk, as we said, through the glamorous underbelly of the arena and whatnot, and into a very busy press centre filled with journalists from around the world. Should we just have a bit of a discussion about that dress rehearsal that we've seen? Try and give everyone at home a little bit of an idea, not giving too much away, but a bit of an idea about what they're going to see on Tuesday night.
I don't know about you, but I am energised. I have come away from watching that rehearsal excited for everybody to see what we have just seen. There is so much in there for everybody to enjoy. You might be a beginner Eurovision fan. You might have watched a contest for 40 years. There'll be something in there for you. It's a real celebration of Eurovision's history for me. That comes from the postcards, which are unique this year. We see highlights of countries' most iconic entries leading then into that year's artist, but also the performances. I mean, we have to talk about the performances, and then there's the hosts as well, of course. Petra's back, and we've just seen her on the Eurovision stage where she belongs alongside Malin Ackerman.
Yeah, Petra, I want to just talk about this straight away. It just feels like home, having Petra on the stage with a script written by Edward Afsilian. It just seems so familiar and so right and just effortlessly funny. And it just feels like a Swedish Eurovision like we know and love, doesn't it?
She makes a brilliant joke, doesn't she, at the very start of the show?
She makes so many good jokes. Oh, well, yeah. It's so effortless.
Yeah, not just the one joke. There's a brilliant joke at the start of the show. There's a lot of jokes, as James said, in the show, including one joke that we're not sure will make it to semi-final one, or at least the live broadcast on Tuesday night. But anyway, we can talk about that tomorrow, on tomorrow's episode, potentially. But shall we talk about the performances? Because there is a run of songs in semi-final number one that I think is possibly, and I put this on my social media, I think there is an argument for saying it is the most impressive run of three songs in Eurovision history. So you've got Song 4, Ireland. Then you've got Ollie Alexander, of course, for the United Kingdom, because the Big Five incorporated into the semi-finals this year. And then you've got Ukraine. Ireland, UK, Ukraine, all of them unbelievable. You will not believe what you see.
We'll chat to Michael Keely, who is the Irish head of delegation, in just a moment. He's been on the podcast a few times. Hopefully you'll have heard him in the past. It's been a bit of a shaky, a bit of a rocky run for Ireland. But, I mean, based on the performance that we just saw, it was spectacular. I'm going to bring Callum in very quickly. Of course, he is with us all week, usually writes for us on eurotrippodcast.com. Welcome, Callum. I think it's the first time with us this week.
Yes, it is. A few days ago, on Friday night, before we jetted off here to Malmö, Rob sent us both a message saying, I'm like a kid at Christmas. This does feel like Christmas. Let me say to you, a la Happy Christmas, Happy Eurovision.
You've said that so many times already to so many different people, haven't you? You're in a chipper mood.
I'm in a really chipper mood because we're in Sweden, the, let's say, home of Eurovision. I believe it. The Swedes are... They have the best record, recent record at Eurovision. They're some of the best people at making entertainment television in the world. We are in safe hands, and I'm already having the time of my life.
Are you having the time of your life? Because there is a conversation we will be able to bring you later on in today's episode, a conversation that you had, possibly one of the best things you've done, I would say, one of your favourite artists of all time?
Yes, absolutely. Later in the episode, you'll hear my chat with Benjamin Ingrosso, who will be performing as an interval act. And it is an incredible show. He's probably the biggest pop star in Sweden at the moment. I don't think we would have thought that when he performed at Eurovision in 2018, but wow, he's incredible live.
Rob, do you want to just take us through a few more of your thoughts from the show that people are going to see? We saw the first dress rehearsal, the first run through.
Yeah, I don't have any major thoughts other than to say I enjoyed it immensely. Everyone is going to have a brilliant time. The theme music, oh, if there's anything that gets you excited for Eurovision Song Contest, it's a lovely bit of theme music. I'll be downloading that to wander around London with once I get home. Honestly, be walking with purpose listening to that. But yeah, what a show, James. What a show.
I was saying before, we want to tell you stuff, but equally we don't want to give too much away. I think the standout thing that we did take away was that three-song sweep that Rob mentioned of Ireland, into the UK, into Ukraine. It's almost like a three-song sweep we've never really seen before. It's so strong and so powerful.
And we will, I think, get onto this a bit more as well a bit later on, but staging that you have never seen before.
From Ireland, from the UK, and from Ukraine, right?
Absolutely. They're all unique. We've never seen any of them done at Eurovision before, and they have to be seen to be believed.
Well, shall we dive into Ireland? A couple of days ago, on the first day we got here, we arrived into Copenhagen on Saturday evening. And Rob, you managed to catch up with some fans.
That's right. We were at the Malmö Hagen Eurovision pre-party. And we spoke to these Irish fans who are regularly... And we spoke to these Irish fans about their hopes for Bambi Thug this week. So Mark, Kira, Brian, how are you? And, of course, listeners to the Eurotrip podcast.
Yeah, delighted to be here.
Delighted to be back at Eurovision for another year. It's going to be absolutely brilliant.
Looking ahead to semi one, I was going to say let's look ahead to the semi-final as a whole, but with you guys, I feel like we shouldn't look ahead to the semi-final as a whole. We should talk about the one big thing, which is that Ireland may well have a qualifier for the grand final for the first time in a long time.
Yeah, like it feels like qualification isn't even a question anymore. It's like, is it going to be maybe top 10, maybe top...
All right, don't get ahead of yourself, Mark.
Maybe top five, like, you know.
Oh, he's still going.
Winner? You're like, do I have a lot of jobs to do next year?
Yeah, I think like the past few years that we've come to Eurovision, we've had like a backup country, the country that we're going to support at the grand final. And then this year we're like, oh,
do we need one?
We don't need it, you know. So we've got Ireland, yeah.
What is it about Bambi that really means that you guys are so confident going into Tuesday?
I think they're just so authentically themselves. Like, they're not trying to be anything else. You know, like, I think in Eurovision, sometimes people feel like they might need to emulate an act that's gone before them. Whereas Bambi just comes forward and they're like, I'm something new. This is my vibe. I've created my own genre and I'm sticking to that. And everyone loves them for that.
Mark, Kira, thank you so much for chatting.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's now catch up with a head of delegation. We've just found one walking around here in the media centre. Michael Keeley from Ireland. Hello.
How are you doing, James? Yeah, you
well? Yeah, good, thank you. Nice to see you again. I want to sort of give people an insight into the role of a head of delegation, because we saw you wandering around. What have you been trying to organise?
Well, you caught me as I was trying to... We need a mannequin to put Bambi's dress on so we can so the designer can make some alterations to it. So we were just wondering where we could get one, and I was walking through here and I saw four mannequins over there, and I was wondering if I could create a diversion and just maybe rob one and bring it around to the backstage bubble, but apparently that's not suitable, that mannequin. So I've had to send two people off out into somewhere out into Malmo to try and get a suitable one.
This is the life of a head of delegation, isn't it? Because people don't realise, you kind of have to be like a jack of all trades, really, don't you?
You're just kind of a general fixer, do you know what I mean? So I can't sew dresses, I can't do makeup, I can't, you know, I'm not a vocal coach. So I can't take care of any of that stuff that Bambi might need, you know, today. So really what's left is everything else, you know. So if somebody wants a sandwich, if somebody's, you know, busy getting their in-ears put on or their makeup put on and they need a, you know, a sandwich, or they need me to go and get something, or they need a mannequin or whatever, I'll do that for them. You know?
You're getting your hands dirty, right?
Well, do you know what? I could sit in the corner and read a book or I could make myself vaguely useful, you know. So that's, at the moment, that's what I'm trying to do.
And you do all that sort of stuff as well for the love of it, don't you? Because you have been involved with Eurovision for many years now, and you are genuinely a fan, right?
Oh, like 100%, you know, and it goes back to my very first Eurovision. I mean, I watched it as a kid. I mean, my first Eurovision memory is of Johnny Logan winning in The Hague in 1980, and I just remember, I was a little kid, and I remember the excitement at the time that brought to Ireland and to, you know, what was a pretty grey, dull, bleak place, in, you know, in 1980, and that just brought a little sunshine, a little colour into our lives back then, and I'm excited he's coming tomorrow to perform in the first semi-final.
I was going to say, when did you find out about that before anybody else, or did you get wind of it?
I got wind of it. Now, I would know Johnny, you know, quite well, and so he did text me and said that he may be here, you know, but he didn't tell me why, but he said he may be in Malmo.
So for you, as a, you know, as a fan growing up, you saw him win twice. I mean, it genuinely is a nice personal excitement to see him back on a Eurovision stage.
Absolutely. And, you know, and sort of, you know, transposing myself as a kid watching him win in The Hague, I never thought this many years later I would be here in Malmo where Linda Martin won with the song that Johnny wrote, and that Johnny would be coming to perform in this arena and I would be involved to this extent, you know. But so to go back to the question about where my you know, love of the competition came from, it was really that. And then to be involved in it in the Serbia in 2008 for the first time was just like a real eye-opener for me as a television producer and as an entertainment producer. It just blew my mind, the show. And once I saw the show up close and personal, I was kind of hooked, you know, so that was it. So I didn't do it. The second time I did it was in this very arena in 2013. So I've been doing it ever since then. And it's just the best experience, you know, and it's always with a new crowd every year. And I get a lot of, you know, enjoyment out of seeing the excitement it generates in a group of people that don't really know the competition as well, maybe as you or I, but who come along to it and then suddenly they get their minds blown the way I did when I first saw it, you know.
And how do you feel this afternoon? We're chatting on Monday afternoon, so we haven't had either of the dress rehearsals yet. But from, you know, from the past couple of years or past few years that you've been involved, some patchy results, shaky performances perhaps, but this year, I mean, it's totally different, right?
I mean, yeah, like we're number seven in the odds to win. We're, you know, we look like we're a comfortable qualifier, and I don't want to jinx us by saying this, you know, because this could all go horribly wrong, naturally. But that is an unusual experience, because normally we are outsiders, you know, and usually what happens to outsiders is that you end up outside the arena the day after you're in the semi-final. So to have this sort of level of interest in our act is unusual for us, and it's but it's brilliant. It's like, it's been brilliant. You know, I really, really can't stress how much that has just given everybody a lot of confidence going into this, and you know, that helps the performance on stage, and hopefully it will, you know, the bookies will be right and that we'll be in the final on Saturday.
Is this the most comfortable you felt of your year as the head of delegation, or because you're kind of in that top 10 to qualify, is there more pressure?
Well, you know, there is, I suppose there's the pressure of what if they're wrong, you know, and I don't think they are, but what if they're wrong? It does make it slightly more comfortable, I have to say, because we're usually, you know, 12th or 13th or something in the odds to qualify in our semi-final. We're usually 28th or 30th in the you know, the 38 or 40 countries to win it. This time we're 7th to win it, and we're, you know, say 5th, I think, to qualify. So it does take the pressure off a little bit. It stops me having that sort of 50-50 feeling, are we going to do it, are we not going to do it, or whatever. I actually genuinely feel we're going to do it tomorrow night and qualify, and I think if we qualify, I think we could do very well on Saturday.
The staging, from what we've seen so far, obviously everyone listening to this would have just seen the, you know, the snippets that have been put out online, it looks like nothing we've ever seen from Ireland before. I mean, talk us through the process of coming up with that staging. Obviously not something you directly did, but obviously you've got a team who did that. But it's so different to what we've seen from Ireland recently.
Well, and so is the artist. I mean, we've never seen an artist like Bambi Thug coming from Ireland. So they're absolutely one of a kind. They're, you know, they're a once-off artist, and so the creative vision really comes directly from Bambi. We were very lucky to have a Spanish guy called Sergio Sanchez, who's done all of the camera direction on it, and he's just done an amazing job. And you know, he's only a young guy, he's only 22-23, but he's got a massive future ahead of him in this business if he wants, or in entertainment globally, I would think, you know, because he's directed the whole camera performance and it looks amazing.
Were you blown away when you first saw the rehearsals and stuff?
Yeah, because normally I would have to get involved a little more, but I think this time my job was to step back and let these two people just get on with doing it, because look what they've created, you know. I know you've only seen a snippet, but you'll see the whole thing today. So my job was just to get out of their way mainly, and just try and make their journey through the Eurovision process, you know, as kind of smooth as possible, and also their interaction with RT, you know, because that's not always the smoothest thing either, you know. And I say that with affection, as somebody who loves the place and who's worked there for many years. So, the job is just to try and make it as smooth a process as possible for them, and I'd say just to let them do it, you know, because they had a vision, they had a very strong vision, and you know, that's, you're going to see that today.
Bambi Thug was a little under the weather over the last few days. Some people might have seen that online. Was it food poisoning, or give us an idea? Are they better now is the big question.
Thankfully they're better now. Yeah, they had, and it wasn't just one of these kind of Eurovision stories where somebody's making, like, they were genuinely really ill and we were really worried about them. On Friday night they went for something to eat, and they were eating oysters, which they don't normally do, they told me, and unfortunately one of them wasn't, you know, the best, and they ended up in Malmo Hospital at 1 o'clock in the morning on Friday night, Saturday morning, and they were brought in there and put on a drip, and you know, luckily they were treated very quickly, and so the following day was a complete write-off, they were genuinely very, very ill, and luckily it's kind of cleared up now. They're in great form today, and looking forward to performing twice today and twice tomorrow, so fingers crossed. Yeah, that's the end of the dramas on that front.
And looking ahead to the semi-finals, then obviously hopefully the grand final, what do you think this would do for Ireland, for RTE, for the reputation of Eurovision in Ireland?
If we qualify, or, yeah, well, I mean, look, we haven't qualified since 2018. So there is it. What happens is, and Ryan O'Shaughnessy was the last, you know, qualifier, and the excitement that Ryan generated in Ireland, you know, that we were going to be in a Eurovision final for, you know, because it hadn't been for a few years before that. You know, just gives the whole country a bit of a lift, you know. So it's a small country, you know. We kind of rally around things like this, you know. When our football teams do well, if they ever do well, our Eurovision artists qualify for final, the whole country gets behind them. So if Bambi qualifies, which I'm sure they will, there's going to be a lot of excitement in Ireland. Yeah.
And would it take some pressure off you as well? Because I know you get a lot of criticism. We've talked to you on the podcast about this a lot in the past. But, you know, you face up to a lot of that criticism. You know, you put yourself out there. Would it take the pressure off you a little bit, do you think?
Well, I mean, I suppose it would. I mean, you know, fans do give out to me when we don't qualify. And that's, you know, we've talked about that before. And, like, I don't care. And I don't mind that they have me as the sort of as a whipping boy for any of our poor results, because I'd sooner they take it out on me than take it out on anybody who steps up to have a go, because, you know, it takes a lot to walk out on this big stage. So will it take to, yeah, I mean, it'll make my life easier, I suppose, if we qualify. I mean, I'm not going to get the some of the abuse that I would normally get the day after, you know, a semi-final. But sure, it's about the artist, it's not about me, you know.
Michael, it's been great to chat. You're in a very good place by the sounds of things.
Well, listen, I hope you're right, you know, and sure, listen, maybe we'll have another chat before Saturday.
Yeah, hopefully.
Final, yeah.
Well, let's cross our fingers so we can chat again. Michael, it's been great to chat. Best of luck for the semi-final.
Thanks, James. Cheers.
You're listening to The Euro Trip with Rob Lilly and James Rowe. Like what you're hearing? Make sure to leave us a review and a rating whenever you're listening.
Yeah, this is the Eurotrip live from Malmö. We are right in the middle of the media centre here at the Eurovision Song Contest in Malmö. We are in a big open space right next to the arena. You can walk between the two, which is really handy. And I'm sure we'll be making that walk many times over the course of the next few days. Michael Keeley there, chatting to James. One of the most candid head of delegations you will hear from anywhere in the world of Eurovision. I think you could hear, Callum, in Michael Keeley's voice just how pleased he is with the whole package that Ireland are bringing to Eurovision this year.
Yeah, Michael Keeley is one of those rare heads of delegation where he is candid and honest. And if he's having a good day, you know it. And if he's having a bad day, you know it as well. And I think this year, Michael Keeley is going to wake up on Eurovision Wednesday a very, very happy man for the first time.
Yeah, he promised us, didn't he, another interview if, I say if, I feel like it's a when, Ireland qualify. So Michael Keeley hopefully back with us later in the week here on the podcast. So we've got some more brilliant conversations to have here on our second episode, live from Malmö. Should we go for a bit of a wander in the press centre, see who we can find?
Yeah, absolutely. It's always great when you're in the press centre like this, and you see everybody from the fan media, you see everybody from the traditional, national, international media as well. And you just never know who you're going to bump into. So let's have a little look around. Who can we find here, Rob?
You also, by the way, never know if you're going to be run over by a cameraman. There are people filming bits and bobs for television audiences around the world here all the time, so you never know who you're going to bump into. However, there is one man that you know you definitely will bump into, because for one, you can't miss him, and for two, he's never not at the Eurovision Song Contest. Hello, mystery voice.
Hello. You wouldn't have noticed me, wouldn't I, have my cap on?
Obviously not a mystery voice. Hello, Toby Ek from Afton Bladet.
How are you?
Can I just interrupt? We always call him Toby Ek. This is an anglicised version of your name. Because we're on your turf, should we start calling you Toba? Is that better?
Toba.
So it wasn't better because you pronounced it wrong.
I tried. I am trying.
And it is Toba Ek.
We will definitely see you again. Goodbye.
Bye.
Toby Ek. Toba Ek, or however else you want to say his name. I'm sure he'll answer to other things as well. Anyway, should we try and find James, I suppose? We've just walked past, actually, the entrance to the delegation bubble as well, which this year is adjoining the media centre, which I don't know if the artists will enjoy, because it means that they are very close to the journalists. Luna from Poland has just walked past us, just to illustrate that point. But there was someone else that was in here earlier on.
There was indeed, Rob, yes. While we were just having a little catch-up with some of our colleagues here in the press centre, James and I caught the eye of Eldar from Azerbaijan.
So here's what happened when James caught up with another Eurovision winner.
It's nice to chat to you again. We spoke to you on the Turkish carpet in Liverpool last year. You're back again with the Azerbaijan delegation this year. What is it about Eurovision that always brings you back?
Eurovision, since I'm here from 2011, it became my family, of course. It feels like home all the time in a place where you can be accepted as you are, to make things that you really want to do from the bottom of your heart and feel this love, because this is something different from the ordinary audience and fans. This is something that you really want to be involved into. That's why I'm here this time as a creative producer for Azerbaijani team.
Yeah, so tell me a little bit about your role this year. You know, you've been on that stage before as a performer. You know what it takes to perform and to win. So what's your role this year with the delegation?
I'm a creative producer or director. You can call it however you want. I'm trying to fix things and make the puzzle to come together. Guys are beautiful. The song is wonderful. The only thing they need to do is to relax, to enjoy these three minutes, and because this is the brightest moment in their life for now.
So Fari and Ilkin, yeah, obviously the performers, you know what it's like, as I've said. Are they nervous up on that stage? Are you trying to like tell them, look, calm down, just look at the cameras, you know, do your thing, just try and concentrate?
Yeah, of course, I can imagine how nervous they are, because this is so this is a big responsibility for two guys coming from nowhere, standing on the biggest stage on earth, doing their own music. And I think this is so beautiful, and that's what we're focusing on. This is beautiful. That's what I say to them. Just enjoy, have your moment. That's it.
Do you think they'll qualify?
I don't, I would love to, of course. I have a strong belief, and they work hard for that, but it's unpredictable, you know. The Eurovision thing is all about a lot of surprises, dark horses, etc. So all you can do is enjoy.
And where will you be during the semi-final? Will you be in the green room, or where will you be?
No, I don't think so. I'm going to be in front of screen, cheering, screaming, crying, everything all together.
Well, best of luck. Thanks. Thanks for joining us.
I love your song, actually.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Welcome back to the Eurotrip. We are live from Malmö. I'm going to give you a time check, and it doesn't really work for podcasts, just to give you an idea of kind of where we are at the moment. Hopefully you're listening on Tuesday at some point before the live show. It is currently 20 past 7 in the evening on Monday. So the what used to be called the jury show, but is now the second dress rehearsal of Semi 1, is going to take place in about 1 hour and 41 minutes time. And in those semi-finals that we're going to see this year, a change from what we've seen recently is the Big Five and the hosts, which this year, of course, or Sweden will perform in full in the live show. So you will see the United Kingdom, you will see Germany, and you will see Sweden all perform in full live on screen tonight. And Rob is chatting to somebody about all the behind the scenes of Marcus Martinus for Sweden.
Yeah, so I am elsewhere catching up with content producer for SVT, Pepe Anderson. How are you?
I'm really good, Rob. Lovely to be here in your podcast.
Now, I understand you are very, very, very busy, or at least you have been over the last few weeks and will be for a few more days. What have you been up to?
Yeah, I've been here for almost 2.5 weeks now. I've been doing both social media for SVT. We're a group, not a group, we're two people that are doing content for SVT.
So when people say you are a content team, exactly. The team of two.
Exactly. That's correct. So we're doing content about the production for Swedes in Swedish and trying to understand how big this production is, because it's quite understandable, I think. When you hear, you're like, oh my God, it's so big. But I also produce a documentary, like a small documentary, about the Swedish artists, Marcus and Martinus. So that's actually the big thing I do, because I both record it and edit it and trying to come up what to film. And yeah, that's about it.
Pepe, let's talk about your journey with Marcus and Martinus and the documentary that you've been making. First off, what's it called? Where can people find it?
Unfortunately, it's in Swedish because it's actually mostly for the Swedish viewers, but it's called Resan till Eurovision. It's in Swedish and it's called Marcus och Martinus Resan till Eurovision, which means Marcus and Martinus, the journey to Eurovision. And we have posted it both on SVT Play, which is our streaming platform in Sweden, but also at YouTube. So you can stream it on YouTube, and it's subtitled in English.
Well, I've watched the whole thing. That's the two episodes that are out so far. I've seen them. I've watched them with subtitles. You don't need to necessarily understand what's being said. The subtitles are excellent, and it is a fantastic insight into what it's like, not just being an entry at Eurovision, but the host entry, which is a whole nother level of pressure. What's it been like spending that amount of time with the boys? Because it seems like they really get it. They really know what it's like to represent Sweden. And it's a real honor for two boys from Norway. Mm.
They are so professional in what they're doing. I'm so impressed by them. And they are working so hard to do their really, really best. They have been working as artists since they were 10. So it's 12 years now. They're 22. And that is just like difficult to understand. And now for Eurovision, they're working even harder, I think, than ever before. And they're doing so much interviews and promotion and everything to just like make Sweden proud. And I think they're not saying this to me, but I think they feel a bit of a pressure because they are from Norway and representing Sweden. So they have to like be good to Sweden to make Sweden proud. And they are really trying their best they can. And they're doing a really good job.
One of the first things people see as part of the documentary is obviously the moment they win Melody Festival, and then they go kind of behind backstage. They're kind of overwhelmed with emotion. There's tears, they're crying. And yeah, sure, they were favourites to win Melody Festival, but I think that didn't change anything for them.
No. They were so emotional and they cried so much. And I think the pressure just flew away from their shoulders. They were so relieved.
I think one of my favourite bits was I think it was Martinus who said, "I need to go to the toilet, but I am going to wee and cry at the same time."
Exactly, that's correct. And I think they've also said, I don't remember if it's in the documentary or if they only said this to me, but like the biggest pressure was to win Melody Festivalen, because that's like the okay. Let's go way of Sweden saying, you can do this for us. And now it's like just Eurovision, but it's still really, really big for them, and they've been longing for this for so long. But I think the biggest pressure from the Swedish audience, that was Melodifestivalen.
And they seem really bought into the whole process. You know, you see them in meetings with the creative director, who has to tell them the bad news that the set can only be 3 meters high. I think that the set in Melodifestivalen was taller than that. So she says, you know, you can only have a set that's 3 meters high, but we're planning on doing this with it. And you can see that they really are very engaged and very invested in what's going to happen, and they want to be part of that whole journey.
Yeah, they really are, and they are engaged, and they want to do the best they can. That's really their goal.
And we also learn from the documentary, if people didn't know this already, and if they follow Marcus Martinez, I'm sure they do, they love football, don't they?
Oh, yes.
There's very little they talk about other than football.
They love football so much. And they actually play in a team in Norway. Not the best, but
I saw they play in the third division, which is still really good.
Yeah, exactly. The third division in Norway. I also know that they're training football when they're in Sweden as well, in a team in Sweden. And I think it's, if they don't think about Eurovision, they think about football.
I think we saw when they were in the UK, I think they went to Old Trafford, the home of Manchester United, and had a lovely, lovely time there. But also what's great about the documentary is we've seen the real highs and lows of the journey since winning Melodifestivalen. So obviously the joy of everything, representing Sweden, of course, but also the pressure, the time pressure, the how many things they have to do. On the pre-party tour, there's a really interesting scene from Amsterdam, I think it was, where there's so many fans outside waiting for them to take pictures. And because they're on such a time pressure, they can't take the pictures. And they're so almost like distraught that they can't take pictures with the fans. Mm.
They love their fans so much. And they know that the fans is giving them their job. And I think that they always want to be nice and pleasant and give the fans like a great I forgot the English word, what is it called, you know, the whole experience. They want to give the fans the greatest experience when they're meeting them, and when they're not allowed to then take these pictures, people have been waiting for a very long time just to meet them, and then they get a bit disappointed because they want to take that photos. I think it's a hard knock life to be an artist and just keep up with that big schedule that you have.
And that's, as I say, what is so great about the documentary is because you do see the other side of things. You see the artist's perspective about what this whole journey is like. Were there any surprises for you following them? And obviously you still are, I know, as well, because you know, you're still working on the documentary, still a couple of episodes to go, so we'll be covering their experience actually here in Malmö too. Have there been any surprises from getting a look behind the scenes for yourself, I suppose, about what they've been up to, what they have to go through?
I think the big surprise for me was the big amount of work. They are working so much, and of course I knew that they were going to work between Melodifestivalen and Eurovision, and I knew that they were going to do promotion, but I didn't understand how much promotion it was and how professional they really are. And I'm really, really, really impressed. I can't say that any, like, yeah, I'm just so impressed.
They are very, very impressive. They are really, really impressive, as you say. They're very together. They know exactly what their purpose is, and hopefully they will achieve a good result for Sweden. I mean, what would a good result be for Sweden? You say Melodifestivalen is the kind of the be-all and end-all here.
Yeah.
So actually, does Eurovision matter less for them?
No. The Swedes are very proud of all their wins in Eurovision. And I think a second win would like the year after would have been crazy. But I, unfortunately, I don't think that will happen. But what is a great place to end up? Oh, it's so difficult to say, but we're in the finals, so we're happy.
And it's a great song.
Yeah, it's a really great song. And I love both the song and in the show and the entire act and the dancers. And it's really nice.
Oh, well, Pepe, thank you so much for chatting to us. Thank you for finding time because you are very busy. You're working for SVT. You're putting together the documentary. So where can people see, I suppose, everything you're working on socials, but also the forthcoming, I think, two more episodes left of the documentary, correct?
Yes, two more episodes. I'm editing it right now. Not right now, but half an hour ago. And what was your question? Sorry.
And all of the great stuff on social media that you're doing, where can people find that?
You can find the social media stuff at if you're following Melodifestivalen, which is the official account of Melodifestivalen. And we're also posting a bit like for different SVT's accounts. But just follow Melodifestivalen, that's a good one. And then the documentary, you can find that on YouTube. Yeah.
Perfect. Simple as that. Pepe, thank you so much for chatting to us here on the Eurotrip. Really appreciate it.
You're listening to The Eurotrip, the world's favourite Eurovision podcast.
Thanks, Rob. Yeah, fascinating insight into kind of the life of a Eurovision artist on that few weeks, couple of months journey to Eurovision. Rob is making his way back over to join me now. It was a good conversation, that. I was just saying, it gives you an idea into kind of the life of a Eurovision artist in the run-up.
Absolutely, and the thing that people don't see, it's just the work that goes into it. That's exactly what Pepe was telling me about. That's exactly what her documentary shows on the SVT YouTube, just to give it another plug, the Melody Festival on YouTube, rather. But yeah, the work of a Eurovision artist is never done. Just to add to that, I suppose, just to put more fuel towards that fire, in a terribly worded analogy, we're here recording this podcast. We are surrounded by three, four of the artists that are in semi-final number one, who are all conducting other conversations, they're all doing interviews, they're all doing other media work, and they need to be back on stage in about an hour's time. When do they get a rest?
Yeah, it just shows you how busy they all are. Just behind you is Yolanda from Portugal.
Do you think we're in shot of her interview, by the way? Is there a chance that me and you may feature on Portuguese TV?
Perhaps. Now, shall we chat a bit more about the semi-final? Not the competing artists, but the opening acts, the intervals, kind of some more of the flesh that goes on the bone of that show.
Well, shall we start with the opening? Seems like a good place to start. We see three Eurovision legends taking to the stage. None of them are Eurovision winners, of course.
And the reason why they're there, the hosts tell us, is to try and show that you don't have to be a Eurovision winner to be a Eurovision winner, right?
Yeah, so this is Eleni Ferreira from Cyprus. This is Alex Sada, of course, from the host nation of Sweden. And also Chanel makes a very iconic return to the Eurovision stage. So that's the opening. I mean, what a way to open the show. And then the interval acts, obviously, after all the songs have performed, are a very, very special moment. Normally, I feel like in the semi-finals, or at least sometimes, the intervals are where you'd go and, I don't know, put your pizza in the oven or something, isn't it, after you've watched all the songs, but not during semi-final number one. Two fantastic intervals.
It's a star-studded opening, it's a star-studded interval. We've got Johnny Logan, not going to tell you what it's all about if you haven't seen some spoilers already, but then we have Benjamin Ingrosso, represented Sweden, of course, back in 2018. And the rehearsal of his performance that we just saw was very self-assured, very confident, right?
It is testament to him as an artist how seriously he is taking his return to Eurovision that the rehearsal we saw was TV ready. There need to be no changes to that performance when you see it on screen, because it was absolutely incredible. And also just another example of how you don't need to win Eurovision to be a winner. He is now one of Sweden's biggest pop stars, which is why we were very, very lucky to get the chance to have a chat with him.
Yeah, really pleased to be able to bring you this chat. Callum teased it a little bit earlier on. So here he is chatting to Benjamin Grosso just a little bit earlier on today. Benjamin Ingrosso, welcome to the Eurotrip. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Very well. Now, awesome. I want to go back 7 years, okay?
Yeah. To 7 years?
Well, 7 years for the first time you competed in Melody Festival.
Oh, yeah.
Which was with Good Lovin', and the heat was here in Malmö.
Yeah,
right?
It was.
Now, a lot has changed since then. Your career has gone huge. You've had number one albums, Swedish Grammys, you represented Sweden at Eurovision. Did 19-year-old Benjamin Ingrosso expect his career to go where it has?
I mean, that was his goal, for sure, and his dream. But I don't think he expected it to be like this. And the fact that I'm doing exactly what I want and I'm doing what I love, it's a blessing. So, no, not really. But, I had the same goals that I still have today. But I'm super proud of that guy as well, like the 19-year-old kid who just, you know, he was... I could have quit back then because I didn't have much, like, I wasn't good at all, in my opinion. But I was good at what I knew. But it shows that if you just keep on working, you can actually achieve some of your dreams.
Absolutely. And like we say, 2018, you won the ticket to represent Sweden at Eurovision.
Yeah.
You're back in the Eurovision bubble this year.
Yeah.
What's that like?
It's amazing. It's such a cool thing to be a part of Eurovision without competing. It's the
more relaxed,
so,
right?
It's so nice. And to just to be able to be here, seeing a lot of friends, and I met Eleni for the first time in 6 years, and it was amazing. And to be able to actually perform for like 7 minutes with only my music, with my band, with my dancers.
And let's talk about this performance that we can expect to see in the semi-final. You're going to be doing a medley.
Yeah.
A medley of songs that I'm sure we'll know. What can you tell me about it? I know it's a bit of a secret, but what can you tell me?
I mean, I'm not sure if it's songs that you know.
Right.
Because it's very, like, it's at least two of the new songs that I released. So if you heard my latest songs, you'll know the songs. But then it's more of a, I'm introducing people into my world. And my world has changed a lot since Dance You Off. It still has the flavor of like an old school era, but super much more organic and colorful. And it's for me, my hope and dreams is that people will get super entertained for 7 minutes, nonstop. And it's all about like it's a performance where I want people to find stuff all the time and to show. It's a showcase for me to the audience outside, like out in Europe, who Benjamin Ingrosso is today, 2024.
There are two songs I really want to ask you about.
Okay.
One is called Kite.
Yeah.
Which recently been at number one in Sweden.
Yeah.
You turned it into a duet with Ollie Alexander.
Exactly, yeah.
How did that come about?
I mean, we're signed to the same label, and I saw him in the office, like on the picture, on the walls. And I was like, oh, is Ollie signed here? And they were like, yeah. Could I like do a collab with him? That would be so cool.
It was your idea?
Yeah, because I love him. And they were like, yeah, sure, text him. So I texted him on Instagram and he loved Kite. And then I heard that he was actually going to be in Eurovision. So it was after that we kind of like, you know, collaborated, which was so cool. And he put some extremely cool flavors into Kite. And I'm just so happy for him that he's doing so good now in Eurovision. I really love the small parts of the performance that I've seen. Mm-hmm. And he's an extremely talented guy.
Yeah. Kite has been my song of the spring so far. Now,
that's,
I think,
amazing.
The song of the summer, though, let's move on to Honey Boy, the brand new one.
Yeah,
absolutely. I heard it for the first time when it was released on Friday.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask about the music video in a second because I've never seen anything like it before.
Yeah.
But you've been working with Nile Rodgers and Purple Disco Machine.
Yeah.
Wow, did you ever expect to be working with people like that?
To be honest, I've actually worked with Nile Rodgers before. 5 years ago, I wrote a song for Ollie Merz. And Nile Rodgers was playing the guitar on the song, and they recorded it in Abbey Road Studio. They did a music video and everything, and then nothing happened with the song. They never released the song. So I, as a songwriter, I was like, I've actually worked with Nile Rodgers, but I can't prove it.
Yeah.
But now I can finally prove that I've worked with Nile Rodgers, and he's one of the greatest, I mean, of all time. When I show people that doesn't know who he is, when I show them the music that I've done, that he's done, they're like, oh, shit, he is a living legend. And Purple Disco Machine is an icon in the house industry and the disco world. So, and then we brought Shenzhen on it, which puts some like soulful flavor into the chorus and the song, and it's a collaboration of like the entire world, basically. And it's it's a song that I wrote, like, I wrote the chorus 2 years ago. So it's been stuck in my head for 2 years. So I'm very happy that it's finally out, because now I can share it with the world. And I can't wait to perform it live, because it is something else live, because I keep on repeating the Give Me Something part. And you'll see it tomorrow. It's going to be pretty epic.
So it's going to be, you are going to be performing Honey Boy, right?
Yes, I will. Yeah.
That's what we like to hear. The music video, like I said, I really want to talk about this because... Well, I'm going to let you describe it for our listeners here, okay, because I don't know if I can do it justice.
No, okay, so it's an old school vibe of a music video. It has like a Goonies kind of flavor, and it's about me as a honey boy. Like,
you're covered in honey.
Literally, I'm covered in honey.
So tell me what it's like being back at Eurovision. You know, would you kind of describe it as like a redemption thing, that you're back? Yeah. Because I think we remember you got a really, really strong result from the juries in Eurovision.
Yes,
and then with the public, 21 points, something like that.
No, it was 21 points. And it like, trust me, I watch Twitter, so I see what everyone...
Right. You saw the memes.
I saw the memes. And I, like... If that would have happened today, I would have taken it more chill and more fun. But I was 21 years old or 20, and I took it very, like, hard. And I felt that I, you know, embarrassed myself into, like, as a face of Sweden. And, you know, I did nothing that summer. I quit all the, I like, canceled all the gigs and everything. And I was really, like, burned out. And I also, you know, when I saw the release that I was going to perform here again, I could see the comments like, what, that guy who came like last from the viewers in 2018? And that for me, because I know when they watch this 7-minute show, they will be super entertained. And I don't think that they will even recognize me, like, because I also don't look like I did back then. But I think it's for me, it's a redemption for me to be on that stage as a grown up and to perform my music that I worked so hard on, and to actually, you know, show that 21-year-old Benjamin, we made it, bro, kind of.
You've definitely made it. One thing I want to mention really quickly, this 21 points thing from a few years ago. When this press release went out, it said that you're going to be...
21 people on stage, I know.
Was this deliberate, or was this just a coincidence?
That's a coincidence. But, you know, that's what I mean. It's like universe just kind of makes... And also, the fun thing is that my creative director today was my stylist back then. And the guy sign who choreographed Dance You Off... Mm-hmm. is choreographing this number. So it's a very like full circle kind of thing. And I would have never thought that I would be back in Eurovision. And to be able to say that I'm back, but like this, is a dream coming true.
About Eurovision, this year we've got Marcus and Martinez.
Yeah.
They are Norwegian, right? But they're representing Sweden.
They're so talented. I love those guys.
What do you think they can do this year? Are you thinking, could they get a top 10 result? Have you thought about it? And do you love their song?
I love the song. I love the guys. For me, as a Swede, of course, we really want to go top 10, at like even top 5. Because when I came 7, it was like a disaster for Sweden to be like not top 5. But I mean, it's a big show, and as a friend to these guys, it's very hard to win twice a year. So I think they should just be very proud of what they've done and achieved, and I think they are doing great, and whatever like number they ending up having, we are extremely proud of them.
Absolutely. And I have to ask, our listeners would hate it if I didn't ask it. Melfest, do you ever get the itch that you want to scratch and come back to Melfest? Have you ever thought about it, or is that history now for you?
It is history for me. And to be honest, to be like, when you compete in Melfest, is everyone is there to win, I suppose. Or you just want to have fun, and that's okay as well. But I really wanted to win, and to win Melfest is a big, you know, 6 weeks of rehearsals and competing with the 25 other artists, and it's like this small of a chance to win, and you win to be able to participate in Eurovision. And I'm here now without competing, so I kind of like took a U-turn and like... you know, I'm just happy to be here without even having to compete in Melfest. And I'm, that's the biggest, like, gift that I can get. And to be able to do a 7-minute medley, it's like winning Melfest again. And be, so I'm this for me is something that I will cherish and remember for the rest of my life, I think.
Absolutely. Benjamin, this has been great. Thanks very much. Enjoy your performance and happy Eurovision.
Happy Eurovision to you guys.
So another day done here live from Malmö, and what an episode. We brought you another Eurovision winner. I mean, we're setting ourselves up for a fall now, aren't we? We've had two episodes live from Malmö and we've had two Eurovision winners.
Yeah, I don't know. Can we keep this theme up? How many episodes are we doing this week? Seven or six or whatever we're doing. I think we might struggle to bring you another one tomorrow. I mean, we'll try. That's what we're here for, right?
100%. And if we see, this is a promise from me to you, if we see another Eurovision winner wandering around here in Malmö, we will endeavour to get them on the podcast. But what a fantastic episode. And the next time you hear from us, we will know who has qualified to the Eurovision Grand Final from semi-final number one.
Yes. So hopefully, as I keep saying, you're listening on Tuesday at about 11 p.m., quarter past 11 p.m. local time here in Sweden. We'll be turning the microphones back on to try and bring you the best possible reaction to semi-final one, to those 10 artists who qualify, to those 5 artists that sadly we will have to say goodbye to. And then again, of course, we'll be with you on Thursday, Friday and Saturday as well. So still plenty of coverage from us here on the Eurotrip to come.
But Callum, has your week peaked with that chat with Benjamin Ingrosso?
It might have done. I just want to pick up on something very, very quickly. You two have a very short memory. You've said that we're going to try and get another Eurovision winner on the podcast this week. We've just had a conversation with a Eurovision winner about 5 minutes before we started recording this. So we can promise another Eurovision winner on the podcast later this week.
Very, very nice tease. You're getting used to this podcast thing.
You make this love too hard. It's pretty easy.
Well, it's brilliant to have you joining us for all of our coverage here live from Malmö. We would love to hear from you. We'd love to know where you're listening, how you're listening. Are you listening here in Sweden? Are you listening at home? And what you think of everything that we are doing over the next few days. If people want to get in touch.
Yep, we are at Eurotrip Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can send us an email as well. hello@eurotrippodcast.com. And don't forget as well, on eurotrippodcast.com, Callum is squirreling away writing some exclusive stories as well. So make sure you go and check that out.
Loads of stuff coming from us over the next few days. But Eurovision Week is still in its infancy. Still loads to come here from us on the podcast. So until you hear from us next time, from me, Rob, it's goodbye.
From me, Callum, it's goodbye. And from me, James, it's goodbye.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.